Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, February 21st, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're on page 80, the third full paragraph, beginning with, "He felt he had done wrong," ending with, "A public statement exonerating his rival." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Robin P. reading the text, Wendy M. reading page 164, and Alex K. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M. And announcements, not sure yet, but we'll stay tuned. We'll keep you posted. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, February 20th, 2025, is 22,186 or 22186. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the ID is 22,188 or 22188. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Diane M.C. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, everyone. This is Diane M.C. in Chicagoland, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food. Our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I have passed. Have a good day.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane M.C. And I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. My name is Terry, and I'm a food addict, and I'm from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of the Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. And 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be to public controversy. And 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, TV, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 80, the third full paragraph beginning with, he felt he had done a wrong, ending with, a public statement exonerated his rival. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. And I will now ask Wendy M. to please begin reading. Good morning, Wendy.
I think it's Robin P.
Oh, gosh, it is Robin P. Robin, good morning. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. He felt, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. He felt he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. If he opened that old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, and take away his means of livelihood. What right had he involved those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? Well, I haven't been through this or this kind of thing. And I'm God bless him, and I know that I would have done the same thing. I would have, at the next paragraph, gone to my partner and my spouse and my sponsor and gotten help and not done it alone. That would have been the main thing. And I would have done the right thing for my recovery. I've had to do the right thing for my recovery in other instances and make amends for things that I felt very afraid to do. And with God's grace and the help of my sponsor and, my God squad, I was able to do it. And I'm so grateful. It always works just to do the steps and follow the winners, do the next indicated right action. It's always worked out perfectly. And I'm eternally grateful for this program and for all of you. And I always say just reach up and reach out, and it always works out. You know, just not doing it alone. It's just such a disease of aloneness, and it's such a recovery of we. I always say illness begins with I and wellness begins with we, and the more we I have, the better I do. So just like everything, not doing the steps alone, just doing it with the help of the program. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day, and I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Robin P. Thank you for getting us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up, and then we ask that you please finish up promptly to give us time for others too. So if you would like to share, please let us know your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Alex K.
Chanel P.
Alex. I've got you, Chanel.
Malka S.
I've got Malka S. Was that S as in Sam or F as in Frank?
Yeah, Sam, F as in
okay.
Sam.
Gotcha.
Which paragraph, please?
We are on page 80, the third full paragraph, beginning with he felt he had done a wrong. And did I hear someone else in there giving their name?
Amanda L. in Arizona.
I've got you, Amanda. And do we have anyone else who'd like to get in on this first lineup? All right, well, we'll start with these four. I've got Alex K., Chanel T., Malka S., Amanda L. We'll start with Alex K., followed by Chanel T., and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for your service, and thanks for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. Well, the part of this paragraph that I can relate to is, having done a wrong, I thought I could not possibly make right. Years ago, I had a lot of shame about how I mistreated my husband. I acted out like a toddler, having a tantrum. I was unkind, more than once, unkind and thoughtless and inconsiderate, and sometimes I intentionally said things to try to hurt him or provoke him. I was a really miserable person, and I took it out on him. And after each incident of this behavior, I'd apologize to him, but I didn't change. So I repeated the behavior over and over, and my apologies became empty without action to back them up. And I felt guilty and embarrassed and didn't know if or how I could ever make it up to him. And I probably would have continued living that way without the help of the steps and my higher power. I'm so grateful that I have not acted out that way for a long time, and I've been making living amends to my husband for years. My higher power is helping me make things right with him. I show up very differently with him than I used to. I've learned to pause, hold my tongue, not blurt out whatever pops into my head. I can ask myself, is it thoughtful, kind, necessary? How would I feel if someone said that to me? What's the most loving thing to do or say? And that's my higher power at work, putting those thoughts into my mind. And just as the food compulsion has been removed, the urge to act out has been removed. That's just one more miracle of this program that I thought was impossible. And of course, I'm human and I'm not perfect. Sometimes I get irritable and impatient with him, and I need to make an amends, but for the most part, I'm much kinder and more loving with him. One of my mantras is be pleasant and present. It's a reminder of my ideals, how I strive to be with him. So many times in the past, I was lost in my head, miles away from him in that moment. Whatever's going on now, I have a program to help me with it. I don't have to dump on my husband. I try to focus on him and let go of distractions and really be with him and listen to him and appreciate him and let him know that I love him and appreciate him. And again, I'm far from perfect, but I'm practicing and making progress all the time. My higher power really has transformed me in my marriage, and our relationship is better than ever. And our home is a lot more peaceful. I really appreciate, too, how my higher power reminds me of my ideals when I start to get off track. Once in a while, a critical comment will be to say to my husband, and then the words kind and loving come into my head. Okay, I'll just wrap up. Thank you. And the need to say that just disappears. It doesn't seem important. And that's my higher power changing my thinking and my heart, doing for me what I could never do for myself. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. in California. All right. Chanel, you're up next, followed by Malka S. Good morning, Chanel.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning. Good day to everybody. This is Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful and recovered by the grace of God. Wow. You know, applying what is in this book saves my life every day. It helps me live on a service plane, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. Right now, so I did something. I messed up, and it is a mess what I did recently. And I just had someone say to me, because she is my sponsor, and the other person said it is my step guide. That's a whole different matter for a different topic in a different situation. So let's not worry about that. But so somebody would go, "What do you mean step guide? Don't worry about it. It's a different thing." Oh, so make amends. We make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others, right? Now, the others isn't me, but this is what's happening here. He's pausing, and he's praying, and he's going to the people he needs to go to before he proceeds to make an amends that might cause further harm to others, his spouse, his current business partner, et cetera. I can't just march out and save my own skin at the expense of somebody else, right? Which is, it says in another place here in the book. I have to make sure. Now, sometimes there's little things, you know, maybe I was snippy with my daughter. Okay, I can make an amends right away, right? I don't need to do a lot of contemplation over that. But there's other times when I need to spend the time and pause. And I'm not good at pausing, you guys. I'm really not. I like to just, I'm kind of a steamroller. I just want to keep going and get it done. And please, I don't want to feel like this anymore. Because now I have this conscience that I can't block with the food and the food behaviors anymore. I have a conscience, and just how the food used to get super loud, now my conscience does. Hey, you did this. Hey, you wronged someone. Hey, you did this. Right? Until I make it right. But sometimes the way making it right looks is different than I think it is. That doesn't mean I don't make amends. It just means that in each situation that's more than, I was snippy with my daughter, right? I need to pause and pray. I need to go to my sponsor. I need to go and make sure, okay, I'm not going to cause another harm or further harm to somebody by making that amend. And that is not easy for me to figure out. So I don't try. I go and I involve God. I involve, my sponsor, so that I don't just, what would I do? Be that bull in the china shop, I guess? Yeah, that's what I would be otherwise. But I'd feel better, right? Like, well, I meant well. I didn't mean to hurt anybody else. Yeah. No, I can't just go out because I'm on a crusade to be in recovery, right? So at all costs, no, not where I'm injuring others. So I love that this man went to others. And I can only imagine how scary this whole thing must have been for him too. And probably wanted people to say, part of him, what is it? No, don't do it. No, you don't have to do this. No, because there's part of me that sometimes wants that too. And some of the most difficult amends I've had to make and will have to make are the most freeing. But I didn't do it alone. And I'm so grateful I never have to do it alone or be alone in this program. Thank you. And if you're new, just stick with it. Just stick with it. It's so worth it. That's all I had to say. Thank you. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Chanel T. Next, we've got Malka S, followed by Amanda L. Good morning, Malka.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hello? Oh, okay, good. My name is Malka S. I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered in Mexico. So I really did not feel like sharing today, but I just knew that it would help. I'm in this place right now where I'm kind of mourning a job loss. And I'm trying to really stick close to program right now. Because it's really reminding me of my powerlessness with food and with just my environment, and reminding me how much I really need God's help, and I really need to rely on God. And the part of this paragraph that stood out for me here is in the second line where it says, if you open that old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, and take away his means of livelihood. And I remember when I was doing one of my amends, I guess what stands out for me here is the word afraid, because I can relate very much to that. Sometimes it was very, very scary to make certain amends, having no idea what the outcome would be, having no idea what the results from that amends would be. And there was a lot of fear there. And the first line where it says that he couldn't possibly, he felt that it couldn't possibly be something that could be made right. I think that the more, like for me, the more fear that I felt doing that process, the more free I felt afterwards, regardless of the outcome. Because that's what this is about. It's about knowing that you have your higher power with you. When you're making that amends, you're not alone. And that it's not about the outcomes always. It's not about that. For me, it was just about doing my part and just giving the outcomes to God. And having a lot of trust the 12 steps can be a very straightforward and straightforward process that brings unimaginable freedom for me. So yeah, I thank you all for listening, and thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Malta S. from New Mexico. Next, we've got Amanda L. Good morning. Hey, Amanda. Press star 1 to unmute, please. Amanda L.
Sorry about that. It remuted. Amanda L. in Arizona. Gratefully recovered today. Happy to share, a little nervous because I normally just listen to you guys as I'm driving to work. I really relate to the first sentence. He felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. I catastrophize so much and make things so big in my head. And the thing is, I have fellows to walk this path with me. I'm never alone. If I turn to God, God's always there. If I let him be there and I let him help me, and I make all these little things I do into such big things. And in this paragraph, I mean, this could have, I know the ending of the story, but this could have been a really big thing, and this could have ended his career. And, you know, it's just, I have to keep turning things over to God. I'm not in control. Last week in my personal life, you know, my husband's going through some issues with his job. And, you know, even when I'm not in the food, I'm trying to control. I'm trying to fix things. And I'm not God, and I'm not a higher power. And I'm just so grateful that I have the steps to help me learn how to be an adult and just love people and not try to control everybody. So that's all I have. I shared because I told my sponsor I would share. But anyway, have a beautiful day. Thank you, friends.
Well, thank you so much, Amanda L. from Arizona. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We are on page 80. We read the third full paragraph, beginning with, he felt he had done a wrong, ending with a public statement exonerating his rival. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and I also want to remind you, if you've shared on any vision meeting on Wednesday or Thursday, please allow others the opportunity to share today, and please keep your share to 3 minutes so we can get as many people as possible to share. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share? Laura W., New Jersey. Hey, Laura, gotcha. Who else? We have plenty of time. We'd love to hear your take on this paragraph, your experience on it. Okay, well, Laura, looks like we'll go with you and give others a chance to decide. Oh, do I hear someone else?
California.
Who was that? I didn't hear your name.
Sonia H., California.
Sonia H., California. Okay. Was there someone else, too, that tried to get in there? All right. Well, we'll go with Laura W. and Sonia H. All right, Laura, you're up. Good morning.
Thanks, Stephanie. Good morning. It's Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. You know, when I first read this paragraph many years ago and going back to it, I'm like, I thought to myself, I can't relate to this. Like, I've never ruined somebody's reputation. I've never, embezzled money like that. And reading it, I'm thinking, at first it says he could not possibly make right. And it reminded me, he's right. Of himself, he can't possibly do it. You know, only his relationship with God and his surrender can do this. I can't do any of this alone. But when I, you know, reading it today, I'm thinking, I sure can relate to this. I've tried to destroy people just through character assassination, just by gossiping about them. I mean, the character defect of gossip and complaining about somebody was huge in my life. And I still can get caught up in it. You know, if I complain to my husband about his mother, or I complain to my kids about my husband, or, you know, like it's wrong. It's wrong for me. And it pulls me away from God, and it pulls me away from that peace I want in my life, and that, that neutrality I want in my life. And it's not about the food. It hasn't been about the food for many years, or about restriction or purging or anything. But really, it's about my character, and it's about my, you know, who is God, who does God want me to be today? You know, does he want me to be bitter and mean and complaining and controlling? He doesn't. He wants me to not gossip about people. He wants me to keep my thoughts, in many cases, to myself, and that's hard for me sometimes. You know, it's that restraint of pen and tongue. I've said to myself in my head over and over, just stay quiet, just stay quiet. Stay quiet, because I know what I'm going to say is not nice. And that's what this program teaches me. It teaches me to pause and go to God. It doesn't teach me to blurt out what I think. And I remember making an amends to my son, who's 22 now, but he was little, and I used to yell, or I don't even remember what it was about, but I made amends to him. And I said, you know, mommy's really sorry. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. Or I don't. And he said, mommy, it doesn't matter. And I said, what? He goes, it doesn't matter if you say you're sorry, if you just keep doing it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, it's like this learning through osmosis by hearing these meetings. I used to listen to them with, you know, before I had AirPods and all this, you know, and it's just so interesting that it really does affect the whole family, like it says. It really does. So thanks for letting me share today. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Next up, we've got Sonia H. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and everyone else that has done service on the line. I'm also so grateful for all the shares today. I'm actually on step 9 at this time, and listening to all the shares, it brought up that I have another amends to make to someone. And I really liked the last share because I'm most definitely guilty of character assassination, especially when I wasn't getting what I wanted. You know, I just wanted to blame you for not giving me, you know, whatever that thing was or that status was. And I just completely would ignore, you know, my part in it all. And just that thought, like, how can I make it right? You know, I just was thinking about it. You know, I felt that I had a wrong that I could not possibly make right. At first, I have to admit, I didn't even think I needed to make anything right. But then just hearing the shares this morning just gives me the awareness that there is something that I need to fix. There's a living amends that I need to make. And then I will be actually doing that this morning. So I am just so grateful for this meeting and for everyone's service again and for all of the shares, every last one. Thank you so much in my past.
Well, thank you so much, Sonia H. from California. And who else would like to share? Please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Linda R.
I've got
Hillary
you, Linda
B.
R.
from California. Oops.
Who
Hillary
is that
B. from California? Hillary B. from California. Sorry.
Got you, Hillary. Thank you.
Jeannie S. from Virginia.
Was that Jeannie S.?
Virginia.
From Virginia. And that was Jeannie, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Got you, Jeannie. Do we have anyone else for this lineup? All right, well, we'll go with these three. I've got Linda R., followed by Hillary B., followed by Jeannie S. And Linda, please, I didn't capture where you're calling from, so please let us know.
I'm calling from Florida, from Florida.
All right, gotcha, Linda. Linda, you're up. Good morning.
Thank you. You know, I haven't been on this meeting in a while. I didn't hear the reading from the book, but I'm getting the idea of where you are. Anyway, so, you know, I love the, you know, making amends. You know, sometimes, you know, I have to really prevent rather than correct. That's what the program has taught me, to prevent rather than correct. So I'm very aware of God in my life. And when I make a mistake, like people were talking about gossip, you know, I have to be very, very careful because of where I live and where I am in my life right now. So there's a lot of, you know, talking about other people, you know, in my groups. And not that I'm so perfect at it. I just think of the word anonymity. You know, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of the program, reminding me to put principles before personality. So that to me is really like if I break someone's anonymity by talking about them, then it's really the same thing like when I work my spiritual program. God will let me know, you know, sometimes I do it, you know, I'm not perfect. They say I could slip with it, but I don't have to slide. So like if I start, I can, you know, nip it in the bud so that I don't have to constantly be correcting myself, you know. So anyway, this is my spiritual work in the program. And for me, I, you know, also, you know, as far as amends and everything, I've done the steps many times. I just did a very, very, oh, my God, the last time this thought of really a core fifth step. And I feel like I'm plummeted, like they say, into the fourth dimension with recovery. And it's just been an amazing process for me. I'm in program almost my whole life. And I'm at a point where, you know, I'm kind of like just so grateful to the program and the steps and the principles and the people. And I just am so aware now of, you know, I just want to be happy and peaceful, you know, so that I can be of service to other people. And I'm in a service professional career as well. And it's all because of my life with my recovery. And my life is rich today because of the program and the 12 steps. And, you know, I'm just, again, I'm sharing today of my gratitude for the program. So thanks for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you so much, Linda R. from Florida. Next up, we've got Hillary B., followed by Jeannie S. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your wonderful service. I'm Hillary B. in Southern California, gratefully recovered for today. I just so appreciate everyone's sharing. I have appreciated it all week, talking about amends. I struggle so, so deeply with being a loving wife. I don't know how to do that. And I do, in my words, I would say, oh, yes, I make a lot of amends. I don't just say I'm sorry. I say if I had it to do over, I would do this. This is what I would do. This is what I would say. And you know what? I still turn right around the very same day and do it again and again and again. And it doesn't matter what I say, I don't change. So I'm struggling with changing. I'm struggling knowing I need to change the way some of you have expressed that you've already changed. And it's hard, hard work. And I'm so grateful I have a program that gives me a way to change, turn it over to God, don't open my mouth, pause. All those things are really hard, but I do them sometimes. And I see a huge, huge difference, not only in my relationship with my husband, but in within myself. I like myself better. I just can feel it, and still I slip, I slip, I slip. And, but I just get to keep showing up one day at a time, and there's hope. This is my third marriage. It's my fourth long-term live together committed relationship. And I did this same behavior with every single one of them. I do it. The problem is me. I want to make the problem my husband. That is not what the program teaches. My source is my higher power. That higher power guides me to be a loving, supportive human being, or it enables me to be a loving, supporting human being. I know that. I've practiced it. And if I have time, I'm going to say this funny thing. My daughter, I forget what she said, something she's doing with her husband that she doesn't like or something like that. And she says, I always make amends. Or she said, I always apologize. You really taught me how to apologize, Mom. That's because I would act out with her, and then I would apologize. And I would try to make the amends. And I modeled, at least I modeled that. Anyway, that's enough out of me. Thank you so much for listening. And I pass.
Oh, that's perfect. Perfect timing, Hillary B. from California. Thanks for sharing. Next, we've got Jeannie S. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Jeannie from Virginia. The part that stood out to me, it may not be exactly, well, it was he felt he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. That little section brought to mind for me what happens is, or what has happened is, and then I realize it has caused some harm to me. And I've then gone back to speak to the person about it, the person I said it to, and talked about what had transpired, and and explained what my fear was. So my fear was it would take away something. And the person didn't hear me. They didn't apologize to me. They did not recognize that they were in the wrong. And so I noticed that what I do is I shut down, I freeze, and then I just freeze them out. So I don't really talk about it anymore because I've lost trust. And so what I've become aware of is that's a character defect for me, which what I need to do is just, you know, stand my ground on what I had to say and go back to that person and say it again if need be, open the discussion again. And because this is important to me. It is important to me to express my anxiety or my fear. I don't think that's really related so much to the whole paragraph, but that's what came to my mind about the little section in the beginning of the paragraph that we read. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeannie S. from Virginia. And we'll see, two, maybe three. More shares. Who would like to share?
NM.
Was that NM?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And where are you calling from, Ann?
Washington.
Washington. Thank you.
Kristen Y., Northern California.
Kristen Y. from Northern California. Got ya. Actually, that should take us out. So, oh, was there one more person if we have time?
Sure, if you have time, Mo K.
Mo K. All right, we'll see, Mo. Fingers crossed. All right, I've got Ann M., Kristen Y., Mo K., and you're up. Good morning.
Hi, everybody. Good morning to you. What this reminds me of and what I have written down here is that when I do anything that's slanderous or think anything or say anything that's slanderous and that might ruin the reputation, as it said in the former paragraphs, I do feel that, oh, wow, that guilt that I shouldn't have said that. And I've done that, and I need to remember, well, one of the things that came up was thinking, I don't even want to think that, much less say ugly things. Or, and it has to do, I think, this whole suggestion in this paragraph and what he did was, I'm thinking, has to do with severe honesty and extraordinary humility, because I have this pride of, you know, and that's what it all comes down to for me, is this fear and the pride. I'm better than. And so I must say that it reminded me too of that trust God, clean house, help others, that's where I want to be. And that's encapsulate my work on the steps, how easy it is to get into the ill thoughts of others and how and criticize, because then I look better. So if I can remember that's good, and it's wonderful, and it's kind, and I write on that every day, that help me be kind, and that I ask my higher power to do that. And it's so from working these steps over and over and over and over again, and talking with my sponsor, this is what I'm thinking, please. So thanks, and I appreciate being able to share today. Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Well, thank you so much, Ann M. from Washington. Next, we've got Kristen Y. from California. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. I'm Kristen. I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for these meetings. I just love that I can come every morning, and it's helping me so much. And I can speak on this paragraph. I'm fairly new, and I really am seeing the difference between when I don't have alcoholic foods in my system, which I haven't for a while. I'm kind of more grounded and centered, and I have more choice. I think the alcoholic foods really make me like high highs, low lows, and then I'm way more apt to be snappy. I'm really noticing that I have more patience with my partner in the car. You know, he'll tell some of his stories that maybe I don't so much want to hear, but then I listen, and then I get something out of it, where in the past I might have even said to him, hey, let's not talk about, like, I was so much self-centered fear in the alcoholic foods, and I'm seeing it so clearly, and wow, what a gift. And all the other good things that are coming from removing the alcoholic foods for me. And I had a dear friend come over, and we had such a great day a few days earlier at her house, and she's doing the same for health reasons, but she's not in program. Anyway, she came over the other day, and she was different, and I thought, oh, what's going on? And then she told me, you know, that she had eaten something. She had stopped by somewhere, and wow, I could definitely see the difference, and she just wasn't, herself as much, I guess. I guess when we're covering up ourselves, we're not as cool, and we get to work on ourselves when we're not covering it over with the, you know, I don't really want to be a whatever, that food. I want to be me. Anyway, thank you guys so much. I'm happy I can be here. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen Y from California. And Mo, okay, we've got 2 minutes. Go for it. Mo, if you'd still like to share, we got about a minute, a little over a minute. If you'd like to press star one to unmute.
Hi there, this is Mo K in California. Sorry about that. I will do a quick share. Thanks for the opportunity. This reminds me of the unknown when I'm going through the amends. I don't know what's going to happen. I have to trust, and I have to trust that my higher power is going to show up, and I trust that I'm not going to do this alone and just go decide what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn to my higher power, and it reminds me of my thinking I would know what to do. I get to turn it over, and it reminds me of a cartoon my sponsor shared with me of two shirts in a closet. One says fear and one says faith. And this tells me I get to put on the faith shirt and trust my higher power is going to show up, because there's lots of fear going through the amends, but the freedom comes when I trust, when I show up, when I reach out to others, the answers will come. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Mo K from California. Perfect, perfect timing. All right, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Wendy M., can you please read a vision for you?
Yes, happily, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.